Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Rich Weber, Chief Pilot for the Jacksonville Sheriff's Aviation Unit and aviation speaker from Jacksonville, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Rich Weber, with the Florida Aviation Network, and we're broadcasting in the clear from the Howard Hughes exhibit in the Florida Air Museum at the Sun and Fun 2013 near Lakeland, Florida, at the Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. And with us today, I have Judy Rice, the captain with Think Global Flight. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Rich, very much.
And introduce who we have with you today.
I have navigator Fred Naur.
Fred.
How you doing, Rich?
Thanks for coming.
And
you're welcome.
Behind my right shoulder, I have Jessica Seaman. Jessica is an international lead student. And off to my left shoulder is Keith Minerva, and he's the national lead student.
Excellent. Hi, Keith. Great. Well, tell us about your organization.
Think Global Flight, an around-the-world flight of adventure promoting education and inspiring students. What does that mean?
Yes, what does that mean? Expand on that a little bit.
Yes, I certainly can. Within America, STEM is the buzzword. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Think Global Flight's all about STEM. It's all about growing our future. And it's growing our future aviators, it's growing our future workforce. Mm-hmm. So, and how do we do that?
Tell us.
How do we do that? What's the most delightful part of Think Global Flight is that we have almost 10,000 kids all over the world talking to each other, learning the buzzword STEM. International students, the most delightful thing for them is that they learn English proficiency. And they are inspired.
Mm-hmm. Keep your microphone.
Thank you very much. That's why I have him as a navigator.
Anyway, he keeps you straight.
That's it.
Very good.
Fred, I'll talk a little bit about myself, if you would like.
Please.
I was a little girl. When I was a little girl, I always wanted to fly. Not one moment in a life I cannot remember. I remember looking at picture books and seeing a lady on a wing saying, I'm going to do that someday. I was told good girls do not fly. I became a school teacher. It was really wonderful. Mm-hmm. At 40 years old, I had my first flight lesson, and that was it. At the same time, I discovered the power of aviation with my students. I've been on this life for 20 years now, and this life is aviation education and growing our future.
Excellent.
In the meantime, when I was learning to fly, I found the world's best flight instructor that is now my navigator. When I knew I wanted to fly around the world, which was about 10 years ago, I found Fred, and I said, Fred, I emailed him, I'm going to fly around the world. And he texted me back and said, yeah, right, think global. And that's how the
name
came
about. That's where the
name
came from.
Yes. I figured that, you know, if I'm going to go around the world, and it's going to take us 3 months, I really need someone that understands my brain and understands me. And here's Navigator Fred.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Fred, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was in the Air Force flying backseat in the F-4. And when I got out, I went to the FAA and said, I got 1,000 hours of navigator time. What can I do? And they said, go buy a logbook and become a pilot because nobody uses navigators anymore. And I found out right away that with all my experience in the Air Force, I had enough. I was able to teach the students that were my fellow students and tutor them along the way, and I realized that being a flight instructor was one of the best things that I've ever done, and really fit my skill set, as it were. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing flight instruction all over the country. I'm now stationed up in Minneapolis in the Flying Cloud Airport, teaching out of there. Matter of fact, Judy and I started at Thunderbird Aviation. She was doing one of her youth programs there, and I was helping her there and being her flight instructor at the same time, and now we're flying around the world together.
Excellent. That's well, right. I've been into Thunderbird Aviation. I've flown in there myself, actually. How about that? So, and now you're here in Lakeland, Florida, so that's quite a few miles away, isn't it?
That's right. And the airplane, we started with the airplane in Prescott, Arizona, and flew that all the way across the country to be part of Department of Sun and Fun this year, to get the experience training in the airplane and get an idea of how it's going to feel like to fly across the ocean. in this airplane.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. Yes. Tell us about the airplane.
The airplane is a Cirrus SR-20. It's got the Garmin perspective system in it, which is a glass cockpit with the instruments on Judy's side and the navigation stuff on my side. And in addition to that, we also have a Global Connect system, which is a satellite-based communication system that not only we can send out text messages, we can talk to people like we're on the telephone right over our headsets right in the airplane. And we're working with Iridium satellites right now to figure out exactly what the total process could be. We may even be able to send out live video pictures while we're flying across the world.
Well, that'd be exciting. They'd be able to, so you'd be able to send that out, and everybody then could. How would they be able to find that then off the website?
Mm-hmm.
ThinkGlobalFlight.org. Okay. We'll be on the website. We've also got a Facebook page. Just looking for Think Global Flight. We're also on Twitter, so we're all over the social media that our young folks here are helping us with.
Good. So in the meantime, then, between now and when the time the flight takes place, you'll be able to post updates as far as how they can go on to get these updates during the flight, after you kind of gather a little bit more information from Iridium and everything.
Exactly. And we're also using the students as part of our planning process. The 10,000 students that we have right now are working on the research questions that are also part of the website to help us figure out what are the winds going to be, what kind of weather do we expect to have, how far can we fly in this airplane, what kind of extra gas do we need to put in the airplane. Mm-hmm. All those mathematical type questions, science and engineering questions that, rather than just a normal math class, can take the math stuff one step further and allow them to be able to get a real-world connection to why they have to learn all those different subjects.
Why it's important, and kind of it sparks their interest, of course, and it makes it a little bit more interesting and not quite so boring as just the basic math classes.
They're what it's about.
And that's what's going to get them thinking and give them another reason for learning the things that they learn in school. Yep. Is
like Judy likes to say, it's all about the students.
It's all about the kids. And at this time, I'd like to introduce the two most important parts of Think Global Flight. These students are what it's about. And we have college students, we have kindergarten students, again, we have students all over the world. Jessica Seaman is the international lead student. She goes to school here at CFAA. She coordinates the lead students all over the world. Very impressive. She is what it's about. She's going to be a private pilot pretty darn soon. And we have Keith Minerva. He is our national lead student, lives in Jacksonville. Keith is learning to be a private pilot.
Oh, Jacksonville, that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. So they are what it's about. And if you would like to share a few moments about what you do and what you have experienced, and then we'll go to Keith.
All right. What I do is I take care of all the student command centers around the world. I make sure that they have everything that they need in order to answer their investigative questions, stuff like that. And I also help them connect. Now, I think the coolest thing's got to be that I will possibly be going to Ghana with Miss Judy Rice to actually go and meet these students. And there's also other opportunities that will take me out of country to go meet all these students that I get to talk to online.
Excellent. Now, you said the student command centers around. Mm-hmm. What does that mean exactly?
Now, a student command center is made up, they are usually at schools, and all the students there, they follow the flight and stuff, and they work on the flight. Now, that is also where she's going to be stopping. That's how we pick where she stops along the route. She stops and goes and meets these kids that we've been talking to for so long over the internet, and it's all been very nice to be able to talk to all of them over internet, but she's actually going to get to meet them in real life and get to go and teach them about aviation and tell them about STEM education.
And so part of what their job is to make some of these determinations and calculations. It's, you know, each one of these stations, each one of these locations, I'm assuming that they probably have maybe a local teacher there that helps them work with determining how much fuel that they're going to need and all the, you know, all the calculations, right?
Right. Now, the thing is with this, the teachers, every student command center does have a adult that helps out there, and they're on the adult's part of it. So we actually help them out too. I keep in touch with them, let them know what they need to be doing, and we're all just getting ready for the flight.
Excellent. And the flight's going to be
next year at Sun and Fun.
Next year at Sun and Fun.
She's going to be kicking it off here at the 40th Sun and Fun. I think it's the greatest time to do it.
That'll be perfect.
It's really important for a teacher to know that, and for a parent to know that a teacher and a parent, it doesn't matter. You can register on the website. There's no cost. There's no time requirement. There's no age limit on it. And Jesse helps them out with the investigative questions. All the questions are there. All the resources are there. It all relates to our route and the airplane. And then we have Keith Minerva. Keith's main job is not only coordinating all the national students, but he coordinates the Student Command Center forum pages. And that's a handful. But I'm going to let Keith talk about that.
The forum page, like we talked about, is a way for all the Student Command Centers to get connected, and it's where you can post answers or if you need help with the investigative questions we talked about. So I manage the forum page, you know, so just making sure appropriate stuff is posted, you know, making sure spam is, you know, not there. The forum page is just the best way for us to get, you know, together.
Connected. They can kind of chat back and forth.
Yes.
And everybody can post comments about what's going on, what's happening leading up to the flight as well as probably during the flight.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
And we are looking for a donor for the development of an app. These two say we need an app, and they're right. The kids are always there.
The kids are
using the website, but they want an app. And an app is important also internationally. As you look at our international population, internet is really an issue. You know, so we have some issues that we need to work through on that.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to get the communication to everyone.
That's good. So maybe a way to work on the app is maybe post something. Obviously, any of our listeners and our viewers that, you know, they're tuned in today, if they have some resources or some knowledge,
exactly,
then that would help. Or maybe even on the website, maybe do you think that the plans might be to put something on the website about, you know, what is needed?
That's a beautiful question.
There might be
absolutely
someone that can donate their experience or their knowledge to be able to do that.
Absolutely. We have raised $800,000 out of the million we need, a whole lot. A lot of that is in kind. In kind means a whole lot. That helps us get to where we need to go. So, and if you look at the airplane, beautiful Lulu is her name, the Cirrus SR-20. She's parked right outside here. So if you're here at Sun and Fun, please stop by and see us, meet these fine young people, learn about Lulu, learn about our needs, which is the app. We have major donors. You can see their logos on the all over the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
So we look forward to meeting everyone.
Excellent. So Some of the things for some of these students in other countries, then, as you meet them, this is obviously going to just make a connection, but it's also going to kind of reinforce some of the things that they're learning with the STEM as well.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of it is math. A lot of it is science. And, of course, the technology of the airplane. Lulu is a perfect platform for STEM. She is technology.
Mm-hmm.
I personally own a Grumman Yankee, and I love my little Grumman. He's steam gauges.
Right.
It's not the kind of airplane these guys want.
Things are changing. I know.
Yes. So, you know, as we are using the Iridium satellite and we're transmitting back to these students, they're going to see this technology in action. And also on the website, part of the questions are about the Garmin perspective.
Oh, and so then they can learn about the Garmin perspective.
They can learn it. The POH, pilot, and these guys know what that means. Pilot Operating Handbook is on the website right there for them to use.
Excellent. And that's going to also kind of foster some more thinking on their part. And
mm-hmm.
And once again, realizing that it doesn't have to be quite as boring learning math and some of the educational parts of it and engineering and as well as making a real-life application with it.
Yes. But I was not like Jesse or Keith, quite such a good student. I was a good student, but when it came to science, I kind of was falling asleep until I learned to fly. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, what did I miss? You know,
mm-hmm.
And they're what it's about.
So then part of the national and international jobs that you two have are then to communicate with the students over there and find out what other things that you're going to see when you get there and how you can spread the word of the, you know, the Think Global flight and what other, also there may be some things that you want to see, you know, like sightseeing, and then pass it on through some of the technology, you know, just through the website or through the satellites and stuff, where you can then, like you said, play that live, if you will, back to everyone here and anybody that's tuned in. Right.
That's a very good point, because we are videotaping, and because of the time zones, when it's, you know, and it's practical, we're transmitting live back all the cultures. That's as important as the STEM, is the culture component, especially for our American students. You know how fortunate we really are. We're very fortunate, and especially in aviation.
Yes, because, you know, our youth, that's the future of aviation, and so it's important to get them involved and get them to where they're interested and want to fill in behind us as well. So
it's exciting, isn't it? It's very exciting.
Excellent.
And we're bringing the excitement to the world, and especially to our kids.
Well, making the global flight. Now, tell me quickly, how much area are you going to cover then?
Almost 25,000 nautical miles. I cross the Pacific solo because the airplane, with the weight, I need two extra fuel tanks to cross the Pacific, 15 hours. Fred will join me via another airline, JetBlue maybe. It depends on who sponsors us. So Fred will join me in Hilo, Hawaii. Fred, you want to quickly go through? I think we're running down. 1 minute.
Okay, then after Hawaii, we'll go down to Christmas Island, because now you have to island hop to stay close enough for the amount of fuel we'll have.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa, New Caledonia, Australia, then through Southeast Asia, India, Middle East, some way into Europe, and then back here.
Excellent. Well, you guys have quite an adventure going on, and we really appreciate you guys taking the time to come talk with us, Fred.
Thank you, Rich.
And making the time to do that with us, and listen, everybody, stay tuned. We've got more information for you. We've got more speakers. We've got a great lineup. So tune in from the Florida Aviation Network. This is your host, Rich Weber. We'll see you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.